You are listening to the award-winning The Young Jerks with Mike Crawford.
And to kick off, I wanted to talk about the Cannabis Control Commission, because there's a story that we've been covering for basically like the last 6 years, which is cannabis workers and the health and safety of, and the lack of health and safety for cannabis workers in the industry, and people getting sick at these large industrial locations without the proper equipment, oversight, managers that care, a cannabis control commission that takes it seriously. Nothing has been going well for workers here. And we discovered over a year ago, this woman, 27 years old, Lorna McMurray, who died on the job. And no one had reported on it. We broke the news. The Cannabis Control Commission had known about it and covered it up, so much so that they hadn't even informed their own commissioners. And our reporting broke it to the Boston Globe, who then the commissioners read it in the Boston Globe. So we broke this story. We began to become friends with the family and the co-workers, and the mom calls in often. I think she's probably listening tonight. We'll hopefully we'll maybe take her call a little bit later. But what happened to Lorna McMurray shouldn't have happened. And there's been a huge cover up. And every week, month after month, we've been asking. We've been organizing with workers behind the scenes too. But we've been asking publicly, please release the report. Please end the investigation. It's going to be 2 years, basically 2 years. And we don't know the findings of the investigation. And we've been asking for it over and over. And this week, we actually got some news. And it was because of what's going on, the corruption in the cannabis industry, specifically with the Cannabis Control Commission. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to get back to the Karen Reed stuff. And again, if people want to talk about either issue, I think we could keep up with multiple issues on this show. So we're going to be covering both. You can call in on either of those issues later on in the show. But I just want to get to this this whole thing here. And again, we just raised $102.50 on our last show that we donated to the Karen Reed Defense Fund through your donations. You can donate tonight. We'll be reading them off the Cash App and the Venmo. So this is what I'm talking about. This news right here about the Cannabis Control Commission. This is from a lawsuit that was just filed by Shannon O'Brien, who's been on the show, who we've been supportive of. A lot of workers have been supportive of. And we feel like she got suspended because she supported workers too much. That's what it feels like to us. And she just filed a lawsuit. And if you've been listening to the show, people have been asking me for, you know, what do I think about this? Have I talked to O'Brien? And I really haven't talked to O'Brien since this came out. And I'm going to bring up Eric Hayes right now. He's a good friend of the show. He's got his own Twitter. He's an amazing guy. He's been following this too. He's going to be kind of my sidekick co-host to bounce some of the cannabis stuff and also on the Karen Reed stuff, because I know he's into that too. So I'm going to bring Eric Hayes up right now on the show. He's got a Twitter. He's a great guy. He helps a lot of people too. What's up, Eric?
Mikey, what's going on, man?
How you doing?
We're doing good. It's a good, beautiful day today, outside the whole day.
Did you go to Saco and the whole Kirk Minahan thing?
No, sadly, my child got sick like 2 days ago, required some intervention. She basically just came down with pneumonia like very, very fast. So it was one of those like quick things. I've been watching it. I bought the pay-per-view. So I bought like six or seven times the cost, just because there was a competition for the most people, actually the most amount of pay-per-views that you bought per person. There was like a raffle essentially where you could do a live show anywhere you chose. So it could be like in your house, in your basement, or
did you
like
win?
Some random restaurant. No, I did not. No, there are some idiots out there that like bought like 20, 30 times, whatever the cost of the pay-per-view was. So I wasn't going that nuts.
Yeah, you kept it in balance for your family. Like you did today. Exactly. You didn't show up. We missed something too with my girlfriend last night, the New England Music Award. She's supposed to give an award and get an award and all this stuff. We couldn't go. You know, it's like family sicknesses and wedding. I mean, we have a wedding coming up. It's just so much craziness goes on. Yeah. Sometimes you have to make tough decisions.
It's very true. The one thing that did come out of the Saco show was, I'm not sure if you follow them at all, but basically they've been doing like almost an American Idol for a new producer. So
yeah, I only saw that because of Dave Cullenhane. Like I figured out what's going on because of his Twitter. He put a video and I was like, what's he talking about? I'm like, oh, I get it now. I see what they're doing.
Yeah, he announced it like two, three months ago that he wasn't going to come back. So they started doing like a round table of some fans and then some actual producers who, you know, do it for a living. So it was kind of, it was probably the best content running for, you know, the last 4 years is how long the show's been going on for. And like, the last 3 months have been just fire. Just like,
so you're loving it. Yeah. This is we're talking about comedy right now. I want to make sure people know because
some people might not know.
We're talking about the Kirk Minahan show.
Yeah.
You're a big fan of, I know. And that's kind of how I met you. And that's why I asked, because I know there was a big weekend, a Kirk weekend. And so that's what we're talking about for folks maybe that don't know.
Kirk Minahan, former WEI co-host with Jerry Callahan. Very successful show, and then EEI sucks, and they
and I don't like Callahan. Okay, and I just want to say I do not like Callahan.
He's a tough personality. I mean, he's I don't listen to him. I don't follow his podcast. I know he also went solo and is doing his own thing. I mean, the two of them together though, it's entertainment. You know, I hate to say it, but like, I mean, it's just to me, it's and he does obviously take some positions that I don't agree with, but. This whole thing, I mean, even the Kirk Minahan show is it's a comedy podcast. It's just, they're just busting balls all day long. You know, it's basically Howard Stern when Howard Stern was Howard Stern instead of, in my opinion, he's now jumped the shark. But anyway, yeah, sorry to bore your guest with that.
I think some people know Kirk Minahan and some people will be mad that we're talking about him because I'm a leftist and I'm going back on all my morals about whatever.
Yeah, I think it's time to shut those motherfuckers up. Who gives a shit what we talk about? I mean,
I don't either. Like, I want to talk about this because I follow this stuff too. And it's like, why can't I talk about this seriously? Like, even though I don't agree with like any of their politics, but I like Cullenhane. Like,
not everything has to be politics. You know,
I know.
It sucks that like we have to. I mean, listen, I mean the fucking Kirk Schilling. The Kirk Schilling thing. Did you follow that at all? This past 4 or 5 days.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about.
It's awful.
I mean, he is a notorious fucking asshole off the field, but on the field, one of the most prolific and best pitchers ever to step on the mound. And RIP, Tim Wakefield. I mean, one of the most amazing. I mean, if you did follow the Red Sox since the early 2000s, which is when I got here. Basically, I was a Philadelphia guy. I came to college, and then, you know, again, you just sort of got caught up in all the success the city has had with all their sports teams. But the Red Sox especially is what turned it all around. Tim Wiggle is a huge part of that. And so was Kirk Schilling. But like, I mean, it was just very sad of his passing today. And I know that his wife was also struggling with some health issues, but fucking Kirk Schilling broke all that news over the weekend. And, totally out of line, but moron. Anyway, we're jumping topics.
Yeah,
here,
I mean,
but,
we're hitting all the topics that people are talking about in Boston, so that's fine. Well, and let's get to another one, the Cannabis Control Commission.
Yeah, let's talk about this.
We've got so many documents we could be going through tonight. We have people in the green room, but what do you want to say about it? Because you've read the I forgot to even say it. Trulieve has. The Cannabis Control Commission, the news that they broke this week is that they're going to fine Trulieve $500,000.
At long last.
Thank God. But
if that's like, even, I mean, like, are they going to be even chase that money down, to be honest?
I know.
I mean,
they left the state. I mean,
they left the state. I mean, it's great that you're, like you said, like it's 2 years too late. You know, they should have been fucking pulling these strings way back then. I actually am interested in talking about the lawsuit, though. So if we can just kind of bring it into that. So I read the document, you know, and this is, you're sharing it on the screen.
Yep.
There's not a lot of juice, I'll be honest. And maybe this is just kind of like her bargaining chips. Maybe I'm thinking, you know, this is kind of just scratching the surface. I mean, she's basically in this suit, she's saying to Deborah Goldberg, the treasurer, the person who appointed her to the position, that she unlawfully removed her from her position as the chair, and that's pretty much what this document is saying. There's not a lot of details. There's definitely no there's not a lot of content. There's not a lot of grasp onto. It's basically just saying with a number of different points that she unlawfully did this. She never gave them a written warning. She never, there was never any,
But I think that she lays it out enough. Like for me, the most telling part, I got a piece right up here. It says, you know, for example, the CCC's former chair resigned from the CC in May 2022. She's talking about the former executive director. I mean, the former chair before her. Yeah. So the first chair,
Hoffman
left. No one knew why. I've been trying to dig around for that. I've tried to talk to Steve Hoffman. I've talked to other people. Guess who actually told us what's going on over there? You know who told us?
No, who?
Treasurer's office.
Yeah.
So there's loose lips over at the treasurer's office about what happened to Hoffman. So Deb Goldberg knows what happened to Hoffman. Do you get what I'm saying? And the same thing that happened to Hoffman is now happening to O'Brien. Right. So I think this is like,
you know, I don't want to draw conclusions. I think,
yeah, but I want to throw my hypothesis, what I know, what I think here.
Okay,
I think that O'Brien is basically saying, Goldberg, we know, you know what happened. I know what happened. You got rid of me. I'm willing to put it all out there because I know I'm right on this. And I'll go through all the details in court. But the easiest thing for you right now is just to put me back on and not to go there, because I'm right. These people are doing shady shit at the Cannabis Control Commission. Yeah. And I'm not afraid to go to court and have it all. Do you know what I mean? Like,
And so, she's laying some breadcrumbs.
The judge might. Because she's got documents here. This is like, she's quoting stuff. She's telling you who said what, when.
Yeah.
And some of the people she's going after is who we've been talking about, who's been pulling the strings the whole time. Collins.
So she's
in command.
She's not going after Collins in this lawsuit. She's only...
It should be
clarified that in this lawsuit, she's only stating as the plaintiff and the defendant, it's only her and Deborah Goldberg named. And I think what she is saying the reason why
these people filed these suits against me, these complaints against me, is because they wanted, she's basically showing how Sean Collins operates.
There's a pattern of behavior, fake
bullshit complaints against people when they start asking him to do his job. And that's what she's saying in this complaint. She's saying, these are frivolous complaints. These complaints are frivolous to get rid of me. That's why they're complaining about
her strongest case aside from that, because it's very difficult to draw straight lines with potentially whether, you know, the executive director was pulling some strings. I mean, she's leaving these breadcrumbs to make people believe that that's what's happening. And maybe that is. But in this document, the only clear lines that I'm seeing are that the treasurer removed her from her position without authority. She has the authority to do so, but there's rules and there's guidelines and there's legalities involved in that. You can't just say to one person who's the chair of a major political piece of our government, you know, managing the cannabis control, like, you're gone, like, without any reason for that, not in writing, no meeting, nothing. You can't just say she's gone unless there was some absolute obvious evidence, which clearly there isn't, because she wouldn't be suing that's the thing, is, you know, Hoffman left quietly, right? Like he took whatever came to him and just like disappeared, right? He never filed a lawsuit. He basically just disappeared. So it means to me that they may have had a little bit more of a file on him if they were just collecting, like she said, she does say that in this document, they were like keeping a file. And basically willing to
let's read it. I want to read this because this is important. This is you know, basically when you put something like this out on a legal document, you're saying this is going to be my case. And so what I expect
this is the start of it,
that means I want to interview these people in court. I want to interview Sean Collins. I want to interview his people. I want to interview this commissioner. I want to interview, you know what I mean, like any witnesses. So that's what they're basically saying. And what she's saying is, she said at least one Cannabis Control Commission employee after her appointment informed Chair O'Brien that she would be Hoffman 2.0. Yeah. And we've heard from many sources that Hoffman was driven out by bullshit complaints. And it's about like racism.
Well,
that's what it is.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I thought it was harassment. Not saying it was true or not. It could be bullshit. I'm just saying, I thought it wasn't that what you just mentioned.
Maybe
I think
it was harassment. I don't know. None of us know. I mean, all we know is that some kind of complaints drove him out. It wasn't he decided to get a new job, something. And when she was told it was Hoffman 2.0, that's interesting. Like, that's like a threat. That's like,
but again, that's like, right. But that's, again, I'm not a lawyer. I didn't go to law school, so I have no idea what would stand up and not stand up in a court of law. But inevitably, there's going to be subpoenaed emails. There's going to be some communications. Hopefully they're, I mean, I'm hoping that Shannon O'Brien has evidence, right? She can't just go in there and just like assuming these things happen, right? She has to have some sort of like clear documentation that these people were conspiring to remove her from her position.
I mean, I think she's got a clear narrative too. I mean, let's talk about this too. On another occasion in October 2022, the executive director informed Chair O'Brien that he was keeping a file to use against the CCC commissioner if she ever gave him some trouble. So,
but this sounds to me like these are conversations, right? These are word of mouth. These are people that are maybe approached her in the hallway.
If you've been a commissioner at the Cannabis Control Commission, you know if this happens. So if you can bring people up that will say, this happens over there, this is what's going on. And the other thing too is like, who was the commissioner that filed the complaint against her? Because that's the latest from the Globe. A fellow Cannabis Control Commission filed a complaint against Shannon O'Brien because there were Cannabis Control Commissioners before O'Brien was appointed as the chair who were campaigning to be the chair. And I know this because they, you know, some of their surrogates try to get me on the campaign for them. And as soon as O'Brien was put into that chair position, they attacked her. They came up with the fake scandal. They spent time on that. So it seems to be like, I think the narrative is very
the scandal
easy.
of her ownership of a prior.
Yeah. Who ran that? You know what I mean? There's two people.
Yeah, I know. Amber and Reese.
So which one of them complained?
They're the ones raising their hands. They want to be the temporary, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, so they campaign for it. It's like the narrative isn't that hard for like a judge or anyone to see. Like, there are conflict of interest. And if you look at what the other Cannabis Control Commissioner said, I forget her name. She's awesome. The other woman. There's three women on the. Jennifer. Is that her name? Yeah, Jennifer. Jennifer Roy.
Yes, Roy. Commissioner
she
Roy.
She kept talking about ethics, conflicts.
Yeah. It makes me believe too that
what is she gonna say in court? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like her, so like
I,
you
I,
have,
I think her yeah. I think her because she I'm sorry to interrupt you, Mike, but during the live streams that they had over the last few weeks, they were supposed to be spending the majority of the time talking about the new policies, but a lot of this drama interfered with a lot of the policy making. So Commissioner Roy kept coming back to the legality of choosing these sort of temporary chair position. Like she's like, no, like this has never happened before. Yeah, the chair has not been at these meetings, and I've taken over. You know, this is not normal. Yeah, so yeah, it's not normal. So there's a lot of obviously shit going on. But I do, you know, so what does this document mean? So what is she's threatening to sue, or she's filed a suit?
No,
so,
she's filed a lawsuit.
So where does this go from here?
This probably goes to a court where a judge is going to decide. Usually what a judge will decide right away is whether there's any merits. And if there's merits to it, the judge may even decide to say, you know what, for now, she's reinstated.
Yeah.
We'll figure out damages later. We'll figure out if she's going to stay reinstated. A judge may do that. A judge may not do that.
She does say irreparable harm. Basically meaning that this removal of her job, her position has damaged her career, essentially. Definitely. It's tainted her chairmanship. I mean, now so let's play this out. So a judge takes this seriously, right? So then they what? Appoint her back to her position and she's gonna sit in that chair. Yeah. And then
I would love to see it. Oh my God, please.
I mean, there's two sides to this, right? That I'm thinking about. Obviously, they have gone through some of the policy work. So a lot of the stuff that we've discussed in the past, the equity programs and all these things, they have talked about that stuff. So I'm thinking that, you know, this is drama. I mean,
what if she comes back? Do you think Sean Collins, how soon do you think he quits? I mean, do you think he stays there?
Well, aside from that, he showed his face one time, right? In the last like several months, yeah, he was at like, but it wasn't at a, commissioner.
No, he went to a worker. He went to a worker.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that? Because he knew the one place we wouldn't attack him, like go after him.
Exactly. But I don't think he's, I don't think you're going to see Sean Collins' face anymore. I don't think he's going to show up to these things.
Well, he doesn't show up to work. Like he's, right. He doesn't like this is another part of the, I thought was so fascinating in the lawsuit is that Shannon O'Brien put down, like, you know, when I first got hired as the chair, I tried to set up, you know, weekly or monthly. I don't even know if whatever it was, periodic meetings with Sean Collins in person, one-on-one. And he wouldn't do it. That. He said, I don't have in office meetings ever. And then she finds out later.
Everyone has one.
Everyone else, the commission was getting them but her. And that's what's going on here. This guy, like I said, has been playing people against each other. Remember the last episode I said that?
Yeah.
And I didn't know any of that. I didn't know that he was doing that, but I do know that he does that. Like, it's so obvious he's playing them against each other. And I think it's funny in the Globe editorial, too. Yeah. Like, I think it's maybe my friend Shara. I just realized Shara, who used to write the stories for Commonwealth Magazine, who's awesome. And she now is the editorial writer for the Globe. And I think maybe it was her that was listening to our show because she seemed like she quoted some of the things that we said on our show.
Oh, did
she? Governance of that he has, instead of having one boss, he has five, which means he has none.
Yeah.
That was in there in the editorial. Yeah. Nice. And then there was about the, there were some other things too. So it's kind of exciting to see an editorial from the Boston Globe again, that feels like we wrote it.
Well, you have a, actually, I was going to mention, you know, I posted a picture, but I was actually going to, you know, Sierra Naturals, there's a location, in between where I live and where I work. So I was stopping by, to pick up some flour. I always stop by in my off time just to see, you know, I'm always trying new strains just to see if I want to grow it or not. And I ran into that picket line. And when I was talking, did you see that picture? I think you retweeted it, right?
Yes,
There was, I forget the union, but,
UFCW 1445.
There you go. Thank you for sharing. And I was talking to them for, you know, 5-10 minutes about what they were doing, just trying to get some information, even though I had a general idea of what they were trying to do. And I was like, do you guys know Mike? And they were raving about you. It's like, we love Mike. So I'm like, yeah, he's a friend. So, but my point is that, like, you have a very strong voice in this community. So
I'm glad you brought that up, Eric. The 1445 UFCW looks like they have a tentative maybe deal. I don't think it's 100% done, but I think it's close. So let's keep our fingers crossed that we don't have to have a strike and go crazy against Sierra. I'm ready to do it. I told them I'm ready.
That's, to me, it's my go-to. It's for medical. I still think in the city of Boston, it's my go-to because I think they have the best products, the best variety, best products, quality. I never go wrong there. And then actually, I think the price now, I mean, I used to go there and it was so expensive. So I was basically priced out. So I was just going to rec places that I knew had cheaper flour, but the prices have come down everywhere. I mean, the price of cannabis has come down everywhere.
Thank God.
But I was talking to the guy. He basically was saying that they were talking. It wasn't like a stalemate, but he said they were just dragging their feet.
We got to keep the pressure on them, definitely, to do the right thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to see that place shut down. I mean, it's good people, and I know they do a good job. But good for them, too, also to unionize. And I know that's always so, you know, it's been controversial to not controversial, but I know the industry does not want it. But anyway,
it needs to happen. I mean, when you're talking about like $15 an hour, it's like, come on.
Well, right. I mean,
someone at least 20, 25 at this point.
Their main bullet points were like, you know, healthcare for the workers, you know, a living wage, not minimum wage. Right. And then basically just, you know, a seat at the table. Like they just want to make sure that, you know, like the whole like thing about you discuss it all the time, but with Maine weed is like, there's a sense of ownership, right? There's a sense of like, belonging, where, you know, here obviously they just feel like they're working like at McDonald's, right? Like they could just be passed around and like get fired and be like fed like moldy dust and die on the job and no one's gonna give a shit, right? So protection, security, living wages, healthcare, I mean, these are fucking things. Yeah.
So many of these places will hire someone and then fire them before 30 days because they don't want to give them any benefits. Like it's just that happens over and over and over again at some of these places. Yeah. It's just not right. It's just not.
It's not. So, I mean, Shannon O'Brien, I don't know. I mean, she's got a long road ahead of her. I'll tell you that much. I don't see this. I mean, I think these are powerful people, right? I mean, Sean Collins is a powerful person. And so is Deborah Goldberg. So I can't imagine they're just going to roll over and just give her job back. Like, I'm sure everybody's pulling the strings and everyone's going to be talking behind doors, you know, trying to make sure that Shannon never, you know, gets back to the Cannabis Control Mission ever. Who knows? Who knows?
I don't know, though. I feel like when you go to court, you, especially something like this, because I think what you said was very sound earlier. You talked about the procedure. You have a hearing. Like, anytime someone is, like, especially in a situation like this, you're allowed to defend yourself. You're allowed to hear the charges.
Yeah.
She didn't hear any of that. Deb Goldberg, you know, it's so funny because we had all the workers and the union UFCW reps, I think, called. I know, Mascosh, like, these are the workers, and they even their reps are calling Deb Goldberg. Mm-hmm. The mother of Lorna McMurray called Deb Goldberg, like, a bunch. I called Deb Goldberg. All of us did.
Yeah. And what are the messages
that they're leaving? We want to keep O'Brien. She's been trying to help workers. Nobody else is talking to us. And Deb Goldberg didn't talk to any of us, didn't give us a reason, didn't, you know, we heard some gossip, thank God, but officially, she didn't even call back Lorna's mom. Like, that to me is, like, kind of just, like, cheap. It's like, what happened to the old-fashioned constituent services? Like, you don't even call back Lorna's mom. Like, that to me is just so. But Deb Goldberg called back the Globe when the lawsuit came out. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, she's talking about the reasons that.
Yeah, what was her quote? I didn't actually catch.
Well, she said there were complaints. She said there were complaints from a worker. It sounds like, which I think is and probably going to be Cedric.
Yeah,
sounds like Cedric complained, and it sounds like, I'm going to guess, Nerys complained. Like that. Yeah. That would be my guess. I think those two people who are politically have political motivations to complain. Right. It's in their best interest for their future careers to complain. I think that they complained, and I think that's what's going on. I think it's a political job.
So inevitably,
there is a good chance that a judge actually might look at this and say, you know what? It just depends. It really,
is it the auditor that you've been talking with that released some of the information that you just acquired? Is that, do you know what I'm talking about?
Is it a separate auditor? Yeah.
Separate.
Diana DeSoglio, who's a friend of the show. She's been on the show a couple times. We love her. I love her.
Yeah.
I just signed her thing today too. Diana DeSoglio has a ballot question that she's trying to get forward to audit the state house, which I love, the legislature.
Yeah.
She was an aide at the state house. Something bad happened to her as an aide, as a worker. Yeah. Like, I think it was more like a sexual assault type situation. Mm. She had to sign an NDA, I believe, and something happened to get her money. But, you know, she was out of a job, and then she came back as a state senator.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's the state auditor. This is a working class woman who's really smart, and she's trying to audit the state house, and they're resisting.
Wait, so that's the question she's trying to get to the ballot?
Because they're resisting, and now she wants to put it on the ballot.
Yeah.
So she's awesome, and the reason she tried to do that is because there's all these, you know, payouts and silencing people, and that's also what was revealed in this Boston Globe thing. Is that the Boston Globe said, look at all this money they're spending on mediation and lawsuits. Yeah. So the same thing. It's like
it's
a lot
all
of government.
Tied together, right?
He this said, she is... said, payback, payouts, people, you know, and we never really know what's going on. We try to figure it out. But in this situation, Diana DeSoglio, we asked her to put out the audit because the audit had been completed on the Cannabis Control Commission, but it hadn't been released yet. We asked for it like last week. She put it out this week. It was like amazing. She's like, 3 days later, she put it out, you know, right after we asked.
And then
like,
what,
that's constituent service compared to Deb Goldberg. Deborah Goldberg gets an F to me. That's just couldn't even call her back Lorna's mom.
Yeah.
Diana DeSoglio, A+. I'd say Shannon O'Brien is always an A+, but now she can't talk to us at all. I don't even know if she gets messages.
What was in the report that she finally was able to hand over? Was it there wasn't anything in it, was it? There wasn't about the audit of the CC.
There was some stuff in there. There was,
but it was mostly wasn't it procedural stuff? It wasn't like,
but there was like stuff like about the expired cannabis being sold. So like it showed that CCC wasn't following all the regulations. They weren't enforcing. Yeah.
But so, like a slap on the wrist, nothing criminal, nothing.
No, but it did show some issues.
Yeah,
definitely.
So
I would love to see a lot more audits of the Cannabis Control Commission because I think that they may not be auditing the right things, if you know what I'm saying.
Did you like my comment about when, because, you know, I have very few people that I set alerts for Twitter. Otherwise, you know, I never get off the goddamn thing. I'd probably be fired from my job.
Yes.
But you're one of them. So anytime you you tweet or you go live, I get a notification from the Young Jerks. But, you know, obviously the Cannabis Control Commission is someone I follow their threads. And most recently, it's always been about just like jobs, their job posting, right? They're trying to fill these positions. But then like there was that one post that they did last week about buying clones and how they were sort of, I'm like, buying clone, like that's just a, like, is that? And then my follow comment to that was like the testing of the clones.
Yeah, you so, would you buy clones from Curaleaf?
I wouldn't buy clones from anyone. There's me not neither. There's very few people that I know that grow like I grow, which is like
clean.
Like I grow.
I know how clean your shit is.
I could like you fuck. I could. I should do you a tour. I'm in the room. I could lick my floor.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm in a basement.
Clean.
I'm in a basement.
You're an
but
Italian
I have,
clean guy. Right?
I have air filters to the walls. I have turned this place into like, you know, just a lab. I mean, it's extremely pristine. So I would not buy a clone off of anyone. There's very few people that I know that do this the way that I do it. And like I said, you get one bad clone, one dirty clone,
yeah,
one
wipes
clone
out
that
your
has
whole grow. Especially in New York, forget it.
Because then you got to like tear everything apart. Like I have a custom exhaust system. You can't see this here, but like, I don't know what you see, but like I have customized an exhaust that every tent connects to, and it filtrates the air inside and then outside, and it pumps in fresh air. Because like I said, I'm in the basement, so I don't get like CO2 is a big deal when it comes to growing cannabis. You know, a lot of people like, you know, put like CO2 tanks in their basement shit. But I got three kids. I don't want to fucking blow up my house, you know, with CO2 tanks. But you know, but my point is that like if I had a dirty clone that infected this entire room, it would cost me thousands of dollars.
Yeah, and not being able to grow for a long time, you'd have to
for a long time, exactly. And all the people that I give free weed to, they would suffer, and so whatever, man.
That's why I grow from seed. I don't care.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk. I mean, let's get back to real quickly is the Trulieve part.
All over the place.
Because we have a phone number too. I'm gonna put that out right now, actually. If anyone wants to call in, you can call in tonight. Yeah. I'm gonna set up the phone number 978-560-3155. Especially if it's Lorna's mom. I would love to hear from her now if she's listening. Let me get the phone set up though, because you want to read that. Could you see that on the screen? How much Trulieve actually paid in a fine to recently or not they haven't paid, but they're talking about how much they might have to pay.
But correct me, they're one of the largest MSOs in the country, right? So like $500,000 to them is probably what they make in a week. I mean, exactly. Obviously it's still a large penalty, but where's the criminal charges? Where's the further investigation of the proof behind the cause of death? I mean, they basically said it was pre-existing conditions, right? They basically blamed it on her, did they not? That she died because
That was OSHA. That was Trulieve did say that. Yes, they said pre-existing conditions.
Right. And I just, I don't know. Has any companies, any cultivators improved the conditions of their workers' environment based off of the Lorna McGurry story?
Yes.
Like are people, they have.
Oh yeah. We hear from them.
Great. Good.
And even some are like even starting to do some things with ownership. And so things are happening, not enough, unfortunately. Unfortunately, it's like the rare one that does instead of the, you know, many.
Yeah.
But it's definitely become, you know, something that the workers speak up more about, too. And I think the workers like at Sierra, I believe they have a lot of good equipment there, like, you know, especially with the union. So,
yeah.
But the amount was 500. And I want to know, like, they find them there. Suggestion is that they're going to find them over $500,000. It's 502,500. How do they come up with that number? Like,
fucking,
we're just like, let's give them 2,500 more than $500,000.
Is it like the legal fees? Like, what's the 2,500 for?
Yeah.
Exactly.
The reason they said they're going to find them is because the company failed to follow workplace safety operating procedures, failed to process marijuana in a safe and sanitary manner, submitted untruthful information and incident report, and other violations. The details were redacted in a copy of the letter provided to the Globe. Yeah. Trulieve can appeal. Now, this is what, you know, pissed me off and some of the other press, too, that I've even heard from, is they haven't put out a press release. Like, they're giving this info to the Globe first on a Friday, basically, right?
Yeah,
and
bury it.
Basically
bury it.
Yeah, behind a paywall with another scandal brewing, almost to, like, change the subject or even, like, say, you don't have to get mad at us anymore. We did something. It's right. So weird. Where's the press release? Where's the info for us? Yeah. The Young Jerks have been asking week after week. Where's, you know, for everyone else in the media? Like, where is it? It's so,
it's not awful. Weird. It's obvious. And that's why, like I was saying on the last show, is that, you know, people like you and people like Turtle Boy, like your guys' persistence, if you guys didn't continue to bring up these topics and continue to grow your audience and be the voice of basically the voice of the people, these stories would just die. They would just die and get buried, and no one would talk about them anymore, and people would get sicker, and all this would just be brushed under the rug. So I don't know. Yeah.
And the commission wastes so much money. Like, there's 93,000 for employment attorneys because they can't, you know, everyone's suing each other.
And you know, just out of curiosity, though, have you ever clicked on one of those job postings?
No. Well, I have in the past, not lately.
They're paying them fucking shit money.
Of course.
Like, there was one like research, like I'm in that area. So I was like, oh, you know, let me see what this is like. I read the job description, and then they're offering, it's like $60,000. Like, what kind of person? Like, this is going to be like a person who's like the coordinator of their research. So people who are going to be looking at the data and the numbers.
Trump change.
What kind of qualifications are they going to get for someone who is going to be like, if you want
someone
who
wants a no-show job, that's what it is. You don't have to show up.
What it is.
And you can spend $159,000 on mediation sessions.
Right. Serious people are not going to apply for these. And they're still trying to hire, I think, like a lead attorney. Like, serious people are not going to apply for these jobs. Just crooks.
Yeah.
People, like you said, who just want a paycheck, aren't going to show up, and basically just going to report exactly what they want to report.
Yep.
Yeah.
I just want to say that I really hope Shannon O'Brien gets back. I hope she wins this lawsuit, and I hope that Sean Collins resigns.
Of this stuff is a fairy tale.
Yeah, and I hope the treasurer actually calls back Lorna McMurray's, you know, mom.
Yeah.
Laura, if you're listening tonight, give us a call, 978-560-3155. It's on the ticker, or just call my cell phone. You got my cell phone number. So if you're listening tonight,
let me ask you this though. So clearly this is like, these are power plays, right? So Shannon O'Brien, started this whole thing when she brought up that the executive director was going to take a leave, right? He was going to take a leave, and then he was going to retire from his position, right? She brought that up in public. And I think that's what kind of got this whole story moving, right? And that was, I'm sure that's what motivated
him. I think it was moving her the hell out. Actually, I think if you look at what Shannon O'Brien's lawsuit says, it started the moment she was made the chair.
You know, right. So for a full year.
I think that was just Shannon O'Brien basically making a move. I think that,
right.
I don't really know, but I think that Shannon O'Brien was like, look, Sean, I'll fight back. Like, you want to keep going? I'll fight back. I think was just basically her saying, you know what? I've had enough. You've done this to me for a year over and over again. I've played nice. And I think she has a lot of, like, you talked about the major forces of Deb Goldberg, talked about the major forces. I think Sean Collins is a cupcake. I think that he's just been there for 6 years. So he knows how to play the system that he's got there. But I think that Shannon O'Brien, she's been through. She was one of the first women, I think she was the first woman to be a major party nominee for governor to be the nominee and then lose. You know what I mean? Yeah. She was like a Hillary Clinton of Massachusetts in a way.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was early 2000s. I think.
Yeah. Mitt Romney.
Yeah. 2002 or something. Yeah.
And
do you think that Sean Collins was ever going to leave his job, and that's why she announced it? Like, what, or do you think she just made that up just to kind of get things stirring? Like, what?
Oh, like, I was think there any, was there any truth behind that? I think that's his
that he was going to leave.
I think basically what's going on here, if you look at the last year, she's been asking him to do his job.
Yeah.
She's been saying,
holding him accountable.
There's testing issues that the
people are dying.
You're investigating the wrong shit. You're going hardline on stupid stuff. Right. And ignoring the major stuff and not communicating with people, not listening to people.
Right.
And you have a major problem of credibility. You got fraud everywhere. Yeah. All this stuff. Let's fix it. Let's get real people in here. Let's actually fix this shit. Yeah. And he didn't want to fix it. He didn't want to be accountable. One of the first meetings they had that ever talked about Lorna McMurray was Shannon O'Brien making him go to a meeting and answer questions from her and the other commissioners about Lorna McMurray. And that had never happened before to workers. Yep. So That's the stuff. He didn't want to do that. He was embarrassed.
Yeah.
And she was asking him to do concrete things like, you know, yeah, set up a worker whistleblower.
Yeah, right.
To do. And none of the stuff has happened. Like she.
Yeah.
So this is basic stuff. She always says to me, I'm trying to get the low hanging fruit. So basically, I'm trying to get the easiest stuff that will help the most amount of people that shouldn't be controversial. Couldn't even do that. So I think that Sean Collins, her pushback was, well, I'm having a baby. I got a family. I'm going to be leaving here anyways. I got to, we're going to hire new people. They'll take care of it. I think that's what was going on. But at the same time, he's not telling anyone that behind the scenes, I think. This is what I'm guessing. And I think that he was just using that as a stall to not do anything about any of this crap.
Yeah.
And I think that she was like, you know, look, dude, you either got to quit and tell people or you got to friggin' stay and fix the shit. Like, you can't just, you know, punt it down another year. I'm going to leave next year.
The former Chair Hoffman, what's he doing now? Is he nothing? Is he doing anything? Is he retired?
I have no idea.
Where's that guy?
He came from money. I mean, I don't know if he grew up with money, but he came from Bain. You know, he was Bain Capital guy.
Yeah. But so I mean, is he a potential witness in this? Like, does he have anything to gain or lose by helping out? I mean, if he went through this but didn't have, you know, either the resources or maybe he didn't have the energy to sue like Shannon O'Brien is, but receive the same treatment, do you think he would support her and actually come to her defense and say, yeah, everything she's saying is fucking true?
I have no indication that
someone's gonna fucking track that guy down.
I've tried.
Track him down and ask him that question. I mean,
I've asked him stuff like that.
The Globe reporter should be going after him.
I'm guessing that he's. My guess is that he signed some paperwork,
like an NDA.
Yeah,
he got paid out. So basically, paid him out.
And you be silent, I be silent. We'll make this go away. You know, like that's the type. I'm guessing. I don't know for a fact, but my communications with him, he'll say nothing on the record. Nothing. I mean, and that's what I'm hoping too. Yeah. Like, he doesn't know me that well either. So maybe someone else who's a journalist that trusts, that he has more trust with, hopefully they'll, like, I think people should be asking Steve Hoffman that if they're a journalist.
100%. He's like the missing link to this whole thing. He's the one person that could.
But I think it speaks for itself, though, too. I mean, we all remember that when he left, we were like,
no, but.
Like that usually when people are leaving, it was at the end of their term or they had another job.
Yeah.
You'd have a reason. As soon as he left, what was the reason?
It was abrupt.
It was just unexpected. Something happened.
Hoffman 2.0. She said it clear as day. So I think he is the missing link. If he's going to, I think that's going to be the win or lose of this case. They have to get someone like him to either, on the record, admit that all of these things are happening, or in Sean Collins' defense and the Cannabis Control Commission's defense, that it's all bullshit.
And other people too. I'm sure there may be other people that we don't even know about too. So that's, you know, I don't think it's, I think that this place is run like a fiefdom and people don't want to work and they're, it's like, you know, so I think it's like a lot of offices that I've been in a lot of workplaces. There's great workplaces, then there's awful ones. And when you see the culture of the awful ones, it's about like these kind of fiefdoms that develop over, you know what I mean? Like,
Well, there's cliques and there's popularity and then there's motivation. And like you're saying, people are motivated by positions, by titles. I mean, obviously by money, but no one there's getting fucking paid money. So if money is involved in this, it sure as hell's not being, it's not salaried. It's not like they're getting it in paychecks or legally. It's coming from somewhere else. So you were doing the Karen Reed today too. I didn't want to.
Oh yeah. What do you think about it too?
I'm not, like I was saying to you, I think in our messages, I'm not completely in tune with this. I'm a little bit confused by, I think, a lot of the key players. I understand some of the, like the Chris Alberts, like I understand like some of the people who are being blamed for the cover up, but I don't know. Like for me, it's dragging on a little bit too long. I pay attention to it and then I don't. What was the thing that happened a few weeks ago? So they basically just kept moving the case forward and then now it's going to be going to trial and it's going to be what, in March or something?
Well, that's the thing. Like every time we go to court, they're asking for evidence from the prosecution that they don't have. So it's like, it keeps getting delayed because the prosecution can't give the, you know what I mean? Like the date, there's so much data in collection and forensics, like just the hair. Did you see about the hair thing?
No, I missed that. I'm sorry.
Well, so they're like, the prosecution's kept saying that they found human hair on the bumper of the car, right?
Yeah.
And so when the DNA came back, they said, well, we can't conclude it's human hair. So now they want to redo it. Like so right. much shit like that, just like drag it on. And it's, and it's like a lot of it's revealing that the prosecution lies or that the prosecution, like, why is it so delayed on a lot of this stuff? Like even the cell phone stuff and the data, and it's, there's a lot of strangeness to this. And it's almost like, I don't know.
So do you have the stamina? You love the case a lot, right?
I feel like they're dragging out to try to bankrupt her. You know,
yeah. That's well, they mentioned that, right? And does anyone have any insight as to how she's doing with the fundraising? I know you obviously are helping to contribute, but
just hit over $200,000.
Yeah,
so that's huge, and the goal is 250, and there's a major event coming up in Malden. Mm-hmm. Nick Rocco and crew, we're going to talk about that tonight. Mm-hmm. They're doing a big fundraiser, and Malden coming up, so. And we're raising money every day, and they're also doing raffles. If you join the groups, Justice for John O'Keefe, Karen Reed, Turtle Boy Official, you'll see a lot of the raffles and fundraisers they're doing too. So, I think the money helps. So many people are donating; it's unbelievable. KarenReed.net, FreeKarenReed.net is the website. If you want to, just 100% of your money to go to Karen Reed, just you can go to that website and do it there. You want to do some money to us tonight? We're giving 50% of our donations to Karen Reed too through Venmo and the Cash App.
Nice. Yeah, I'll retweet that.
If we get any. Sometimes we don't get any. It's all right. You know, people give what they can when they can.
And Turtle Boy's going to do a show, you said, at 9 o'clock tonight. Is he going live? Yeah.
Yeah, he's doing a live show at 9, I believe. Yep.
Is it usually just... He does it not Sundays though, right? Is he usually just a Saturday guy or a Friday?
Yeah, it changes. Tuesday? Usually he had his like regular nights, but then he changes it for like family or something. Gotcha. With the case. So I think this was a family thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll watch it tonight. I know these are all serious issues, but to me, it's still entertainment, right? Like if I can remove myself from the seriousness of the fact that they're trying to cover up murder, like I do appreciate Turtle Boy and his antics and the things that he pulls, like it's serious, it's hilarious though. It does.
It's funny because you bring the entertainment part of it. That's what he has going for him in a lot of respect too. It's totally. Like the WWE aspect of it, but like this time it's really serious. Like a lot of his stories. Yeah. I mean, I think that's an asset. I don't think people realize because I cover a lot of the same kind of tragic stories, like maybe not the same ones, but like the Lana McMurray.
Yeah.
And sometimes it is good to just kind of have like a little fun with it, I guess, even though it's hard. Like, how can I have fun with Lorna McMurray? You know what I mean? Right. It's like, so, I mean, this one is nice because you get the villains. I mean, I guess that's with Lorna McMurray, we had Kim Rivers from True Leaf. So, I mean, that's where I think you have fun is with the villains, hopefully.
Yeah.
There are a lot of villains in this one.
Man, they make themselves, it's like they're such
cartoon characters.
It's so incredible. Like they're basically just like writing a script, right? They couldn't have been more villainous. Like it's like they should have like an evil laugh, like ooh. Like it's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm happy to be on here anytime that you want. Anytime, message me. I hope that I'm not boring the hell out of your audience.
No, we got over 100 people listening. So I mean,
all right, good.
They've stuck around, but a lot of them have said they want to get to the Karen Reed shit.
Yeah, talk about that shit. When you want to get back to weed and things like that, growing weed. If you ever want to talk about that, you invite me back on. But
I got two guests in the green room. I'm going to bring up right now. So thank you so much, Eric.
My brother, I'll keep listening. So thanks, guys. Thanks, I appreciate it. All right, Mike.